Episode 6. We have a very special guest joining us tonight. Chris Chambers from Down Under joins us. He is the lead on the Chasing Pars Golf NFT project on the Cardano blockchain. Give us a listen as we dive deep into the project. Here we go. Before we get started, we have to give a thanks to our sponsor, Spartan Insurance in Greenville, South Carolina. The owner is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Jay Keller. He deals with every form of insurance from personal to commercial and will take excellent care of you and your insurance needs. Give him a call for a quote today, 864-533-3350, or visit his website at www.spartaninsure.com. Welcome back to another episode of Web3 Putts. I am your host, Cole. I've got with me Rusty, as always. And tonight we have a special guest. With us tonight is Chris Chambers from Chasing Pars, an NFT project regarding golf. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And Chris, thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate you joining us tonight.
No worries at all. Thanks, Cole. And Rusty, really enjoying the pod and great to join you.
Perfect. Perfect. So we kind of just started off. I was going to just let you run with it as far as, you know, what is Chasing Pars? Kind of give us a little bit about the project and how you got started.
Yeah, it sounds good. So I guess how I got started initially was probably about March, April of 2021. Started getting interested in NFTs and started doing a little bit of research into the technology. My background is in marketing and digital marketing, so technology and marketing has always been something of interest to me. And as I started doing some research, I started buying a few projects, and mostly on Ethereum initially, and getting interested in NFTs. And then as I was buying projects, I was thinking, oh man, what would I really want to buy as a project? And so that's where sort of the concept of Chasing Pars was born. Was probably in July or August of last year, we started putting together an idea about what the project would be and why would people want to buy one of our NFTs and why would they want to get involved. And so we sort of worked on that. There's a team of us working on the project, so at any one stage there's probably been 7 or 8 different people working on the project, whether that's developers or graphic designers, illustrators, project managers. A couple of our team are sort of business or run digital marketing agencies, so we've got some good background in that space. We sort of got towards April of this year where we put the first part of our project on sale. But Chasing Pars is, so in a nutshell, it's really about building a community for people interested in golf and NFTs. At the way that we see it, there's 3 parts to the project. There's the community aspect, which I'll sort of talk about a bit more, and then there's obviously the collectible NFTs, and then there's participation. So a huge part of what we're trying to do is build this community. And I think with NFT projects, the community gets chucked around a lot as, you know, something that's important part of it. But I think in a lot of cases, the community is really just people pumping their own bags and trying to get the price to go up, where, you know, what I've seen a lot in mostly in Facebook groups and those type of places initially is that a community is really about people getting together to talk about something that they've got a joint interest in. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great community golf communities on Facebook where people go and talk about where they play golf, who to pick in a you know, in your daily fantasy squad, bets, you know, all that type of stuff. There's a lot of the new drivers, new putters, all that type of stuff that people love talking about. So for us, the community is more about that. It's like, okay, let's get people interested in golf together. Now, that might be people who hold one of our NFTs, or it might be someone who does not have one of our NFTs. You know, we're just trying to build a community around people interested in golf. So that's the first part of it. The second part is obviously the NFTs themselves. So there's a set of 9,444 player NFTs, and you know, within that there's five different character classes of players. So that's I'll talk about why the character classes are important when we get to the next part, where we talk about the sort of the participation. But there's celebrity golfers, Hall of Fame golfers, you've got professional golfers, you've got local legends, and weekend hackers. And weekend hackers are the most common of all of the character classes, and there's actually, I don't know the number, there's like 3,000 or 4,000 of those in the set. So they're really common. Then there's 11 different character classes, 11 different background scenes. So we've got players who are set in the, you know, on the practice green or on the fairway, in the coaching studio, on the range. So there's, we think the background of an NFT is, you know, or another great opportunity to add some customization to that NFT, or collectability to that NFT. And with our backgrounds, there's 11 different backgrounds, and then we have additional rarity added to those backgrounds by having three different background traits that could be added to that background. And some of the backgrounds are exclusive to a background scene. So as an example, the water scene, our three background traits are, you've got the a great white shark, which for us Australian golfers, Greg Norman's the, you know, he's one of the legends of the game. He's probably turned a bit villain in some people's eyes lately, but so you've got the shark, you've got the alligators, which is a bit of a tip of the hat to Happy Gilmore and the gators that took Chubbs' hand. And then there's a little tin cup, like a little tin cup floating in the water, which is obviously that great golf movie as well, Tin Cup. So we've got a lot of variety to the backgrounds, and you know, I think you know, a lot of NFTs just have a straight color background, and that works for some projects, but for us, we thought it was another opportunity to add a lot more a character to our NFTs. And then the players themselves, there's literally hundreds of different traits. So you know, whether it's the club that they're holding, everything from a, you know, a golden driver to hickory stick to some special types of swords, or you know, we're trying to tap into golf and crypto and the subculture of people who are probably more interested in golf. So you know, they've got an interest in science fiction or sports or those type of things. So the character traits all sort of cross across them. So and then the reason that that's important is that the third part of our project is this idea of participation. So participation could be just bumping into Discord and having a chat, and or it could be where it gets a bit more in depth for our project, is that we've built this purpose-built scoring system that will actually generate tournaments, golf tournaments that the golfers can compete in. And it's not like a computer game like, you know, 2K or anything like that. It's a lot more light touch. It's going to simulate the scoring system. So the way that we like to describe it is like the old Football Manager, which was a PlayStation game way back in the 90s, where you basically picked your team and then submitted it, and then the PlayStation simulated the scores, simulated the game, and generated a result. Well, that's what our system does. It's built, and we're really excited to roll that out when we hit the mint milestone. So what'll happen at that stage is the golfers will be eligible for tournaments based on their traits. So we'll have a tournament every... in Cardano, we have an epic or epoch, depending the pronunciation, depending on where you are in the world. But that's our week runs every 5 days, basically, and that's when staking rewards get paid out. So every 5 days, that's our goal, is to have a tournament every 5 days. And those tournaments, the NFTs will compete in those to win ADA, so win ADA or NFTs or prizes that might have been donated by partners or other tokens. So the players will be eligible for those tournaments based on the traits that they've got. So, you know, this week it might be the, or this epic, it might be the Crypto Cup. So the players that are eligible might be those with a Bitcoin or Cardano hoodie or hat or, you know, any crypto-related traits. This weekend when the NFL kicks off, so a lot of our characters have got like football jerseys, not NFL jerseys, just football jerseys. But that, you know, it might be that this tournament, the eligibility would be players wearing those jerseys. So we can be quite timely with the theme of our tournaments, and this system that we've built will basically look at all of the golfers that have been minted. We can set the parameters to say this is the Crypto Cup. Go and find us all the characters with the, you know, the Bitcoin hoodie and the Cardano hoodie. Bring them into the pool and then simulate this tournament. And I think this is where the golf nerds get a bit more interested in what we're talking about, because we're also offering an opportunity for members of the community to buy an architect token and design one of the courses that our tournaments get played on. So designing the course, it's not like you're building out a, you know, a full metaverse playable course. What you're designing is you're saying, okay, well, I really want my course to be located, you know, it might be in your hometown, or I really want my course to be like one of the courses that we've had designed was designed by someone who used to play a lot of golf in near Victoria Falls in Africa, near the Zimbabwe border, and they said, look, I really want it to be located there, and the things that I really remember about playing there is the warthog and the caddies joking about being taken away by I think they're crocodiles in Africa, not alligators. So can you tie that in somehow? So we're working with a guy or a team who are based in the States. They're based in Pennsylvania, actually, called Golf Drawn. And their business is golf merchandise, but also golf illustrations. So we get from our architects, where do you want the course to be? What style? So they can say there's seven different styles of courses that they can say. So they might want a sandbelt course or a parkland or woodland or something like that. They choose the ordering of the par of every hole. So they might say, you know, it kicks off with a par four, then it's a par three, then it's a par five, and right the way through for the 18. And we give that information to Golf Drawn, and then he actually illustrates out a visual of what the course looks like, and that's the NFT that we then give back to that person, and they have that as their NFT. But not only that, that is the course that gets played in the tournaments. So our system then says, okay, give us all the players who've got these set of traits, they're going to be playing a tournament on this course, and I know, or we have programmed it to know, all right, on a par three, we might say there can be one hole in one. How many percentages of birdies? How many percentages of pars? How many doubles? How many bogeys? How many doubles, triples? And then this system basically says, okay, here's player one. Here's hole one, allocates them a score, and then removes that score from the available pool of scores. And then, okay, here's player two on hole one, allocates a score until all of the players have been allocated a score, and then it moves on to the next hole. The system is built at the moment only to have stroke events. So it's a, and at the time was a traditional, it probably still is now, a 72-hole tournament with a 36-hole cut. We might tweak that now, thanks, Greg. But, you know, at the end of 36 holes, there'll be a cut. So many players will just get cut from the tournament, and then on they go to the weekend. And we'll then... the system will simulate a tournament through to the winner, and the winner will win. You know, it's not huge amounts of ADA initially, but maybe that will build over time. But they'll win cryptocurrency, and then I'm actually not sure if it's common in America. You might be able to give me some feedback on this, but you know, definitely here in Australia, like Saturday competition golf is like what we like to play. Like that's what us members like to go and play in the Saturday comp, right. And in the Saturday comp. There's different prizes that are given. So there'll be a nearest the pin on some holes, longest drive. So what we'll do is we'll also have some prizes awarded for people who have the longest drive, nearest the pin. So they might get a hole in one on a hole, that type of stuff. So wow. Yeah, I don't know. Is that common in the States?
Yeah, I mean, I think every club here, pretty much at least private clubs, even some of the semi-private clubs have a, well, when I was working in the golf industry, we called it a dogfight. So every Saturday morning, you know, you'd get 12 to 50 players sign up for the dogfight. It'd be a different game every Saturday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't know, Cole, what do you have there at Oldfield? Do you have dogfights?
Yeah, you know, they have a men's day on Saturday, but we've got a group of guys. It's a dog fight. We've got about 20 guys every Saturday, and we'll mix up the games. Sometimes we'll play four-man teams, take your three best balls. Sometimes it's two-man teams, and we mix it up. Everybody throws in $30 and kind of winner-take-all thing. We don't have the longest drive or hole-in-ones per se, but there's some kind of money game going on for sure every Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, so on a Saturday here, that's the members' day on most courses. So, like, I think at my course, we have like 150 or so people in the comp every Saturday, basically. Oh. And that's, yeah, so nice. That's sort of the highlight of the week for golfing at the club. Yeah, so with the tournaments, that's what'll happen. So we'll have people will have the opportunity to actually win ADA or NFTs through that. So yeah, that's the sort of the three parts of the project. In terms of other aspects of the community, we are organizing in real life meetups. So in Cardano, there's a I actually think this is the first year they're doing it in person. Last year they did it virtually because of COVID. But there's a big conference on in Vegas in October called CNFT Con. And they're expecting sort of somewhere between 4,000 and 8,000 people to go along to this convention. And it's like our biggest opportunity to connect with our, you know, NFT holders in the Cardano space. And we're organizing some meetups around that for people who are holders. So the timing is fantastic because it's the same weekend the Shriners PGA event is on in Vegas. On the Thursday, it's really very good timing. So on Thursday, we're going to go out and watch the pros play with some of our holders. So that's going to be good fun. We've got a couple of other people coming over from Australia who are excited to go along. On the Friday, we're going to Topgolf. On the Saturday and Sunday, our booth at the convention is a golf simulator, so people can come along and have a hit on the simulator, and there's a hole-in-one prize each day, $10,000 to the first person who gets a hole-in-one. So hopefully someone gets a hole-in-one, because that's a whole lot of ADA or something they might be able to buy. And then on the Monday, we're actually going out to have a game at the Las Vegas National Golf Club with some of our holders. So that's probably going to be our main meetup weekend, because that's when a lot of sort of people get together. But we're also, you know, longer term, we'd love to do golf trips to, you know, go and play golf at Bannon Dunes, or, you know, a lot of our market obviously is in the US, so having events in the States makes a lot of sense for us. We're We've got some merchandise on the way. So we've got, you know, branded golf driver covers. There's a guy here pretty locally who produces some really great driver covers. And we're looking at, you know, how we might be able to also customize those to the NFT holder as well. So we've got quite a few different bits of merch that we're taking over to CNFT Con with us, and then hopefully use those as prizes. So yeah, that's chasing pars. It's
yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I think Cole and I were going over some questions today, and I think we can just scrap those, Cole, and just go off of everything that Chris just said and just keep going. So Chris, why Cardano? Why not everything's ETH? Solana's getting into the mix now. Why Cardano?
Yeah, so it was a conscious decision. We looked at Ethereum. That's where I sort of started buying NFTs, and I've still got a few there sitting in my wallet. And there's a couple of great golf projects on Ethereum. I heard you guys talking about Lynx DAO at some stage, mentioning yep. that. Yep. I think that's it's such a cool concept, and I'm really respect them for what they're setting out to do. Like, that's a massive undertaking. Buy a golf course somewhere and then operate it. Just
right. Yeah.
Like, it's pretty unbelievable.
Do you own one?
No, I don't. I've looked a couple of times, and I mean, I probably will end up buying one, but I'll probably buy one of the, because they've got the two different memberships, right? They've got
Leisure, and then
that's like global something like that. Yeah. So for me, the Leisure one, I just don't know that I'd get the benefits out of it. Sure. So I probably have to save my pennies up and get the global one, I think. But there's a couple of others that are popped up as well. Melbourne Golf.
We talked about them on like the second pod. I think we did some.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I really, I haven't got one of those, but I've been buying some of their gear, and so maybe I should, because I can get the discount on it. But I love what they're doing too. Like, I jump into their Discord, and I lurk in that one. I don't really talk in that one because I don't have an NFT, but every now and then I pipe up. But I think what they're doing is pretty good.
They got the bucket hats,
yeah,
the right?
Yep. Yeah. 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 I think that's a cool design. And then the other one, there's two others that I've seen. One I didn't buy. It's the Clubhouse Archives. And I don't know if it's golf specific, but it's a fashion label almost that they're looking at making, and they've got some type of a golf connection. And then Swag Golf, I didn't buy one of theirs either, but Swag Golf bought some NFTs out not long ago. I think when I was buying, the experience with buying Ethereum NFTs just wasn't as easy as buying with Cardano NFTs. Like, and also I was tried to buy a couple of NFTs and I just set my gas price too low, and like I just lost $80 or $90. I was trying to buy an NFT that was 0.03 of an ETH, and I was losing more on the fees than I was. Right. So it wasn't a good experience. And I don't know, I heard you guys actually on this week, on this pod that you put out last week, episode 5, talking about how cheap gas was. So I was a bit surprised. Is that back down quite cheap now?
Yeah,
normally,
I think the developers have been doing something behind the scenes and haven't paid much on any. I mean, I minted a couple last week and they were, I mean, I think I paid 0.03 for the NFT and gas was like $3.
Yeah. So that's.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot lower. I remember when I first bought some on ETH, I was paying like hundreds of dollars in gas, you know, like $100, $200 for a $1,000 NFT. Now, it was crazy. But I think that was a lot of the big boom at first too. Now that
we used to talk
the
about
network's
how
not so
yeah,
busy.
Oh, gas is only 120 right now. Go get it.
that's
bullshit.
Yes.
Fuck that.
Yeah. So like buying a NFT on Cardano, it costs like the transaction cost is like 0.16 or something like that of a Cardano. So it's like 20 cents, and it doesn't change. Like there isn't there's not a priority system or anything like that. That's the cost. Since I started buying NFTs on Cardano, the process or the experience has just gotten even better. Like you can send a transaction now and get your NFT back before you can refresh your wallet almost. So it's a lot better. The market is nowhere near as big on Cardano as it is on Ethereum or Solana. But the structure is there, and like what we're seeing now is that there's another upgrade to the platform coming on the 22nd of this month, which will unlock a lot of features for DeFi, and which is not an area that I'm really in, but apparently that is something that's going to really make a huge difference to the market on Cardano and bring people over to it. So why Cardano? It just the experience of someone who's now been in the platform for a while, it's just really easy to use and very cost effective. The market's not there yet, which is, you know, hopefully that does change. We've got a couple of big projects now that are starting to get more and more attention, like Snoop Dogg's now heavily involved in one of our Cardano's bigger projects, Clay Nation, and they've got a metaverse and a that they're building. So it's certainly starting to get some attention, and we're like a lot of other projects, we're just sort of trying to build at the moment, and hopefully when things turn out of this build market back towards the bull, we're ready to roll. Like we're doing a lot of building now.
How does that process work on Cardano? I don't own any Cardano. I've never bought any NFTs with Cardano. I own a lot of cryptos, and just Cardano isn't one of them, not for any particular reason. But is it similar to, do you use MetaMask? How does it work?
It's very similar to buying on Ethereum. So just buy a Cardano on an exchange. And then we've got wallets like MetaMask, Eternal, CC Vault, Nami wallet is probably one of the really easier ones to use. Actually, JPEG Store, that's like our OpenSea JPEG Store, have just put out a great sort of tutorial on how to buy Cardano NFTs. It's actually very similar to buying Ethereum NFTs. You buy a Cardano, send it to a wallet, connect the wallet to the website, and then mint. But like when I wasn't quite there for the very start of NFTs on Cardano, which was only sort of February or March of 2021. So it's still very new. Like it's only just over a year old, really. Like it was I know it's a saying, it's so early, but it really is. It's like not even a year ago that NFT projects on Cardano, they were publishing an address, send your Cardano to this address, go into Discord, give us evidence of the transaction, adding it to a Google spreadsheet, and then it's just like so nuts. Whereas now, if you just go onto a website, connect your wallet, mint, and it's so easy. Very similar process. I might tweet that JPEG Store sort of thing out from Chasing Par soon, because it's really easy. And actually, there's a couple of projects that are sort of, there's three projects that are really trying to bridge the cross-chain. So one project, probably the first to do it, was Angel Baby Hit Squad. Now with that one, you buy an NFT on Ethereum, and then you connect your Cardano wallet so that it's related to that Angel Baby Hit Squad that you've bought on Ethereum, and you get NFTs dropped into your Cardano wallet. And the NFTs that you're getting dropped on Cardano are from sort of some of our bigger artists. Like they're not their, they're not their one-of-one pieces or anything silly like that. But they're specially designed for that project. So like that's a really interesting project for anyone who hasn't looked at Cardano NFTs to look at, because you buy an NFT on Ethereum and then get Cardano NFTs dropped to you. Another one that I really personally like is CypherKicks. And that's it's one for the sneakerheads. So you all about sneakers. So they've released they release on Ethereum. So they're released on Cardano, but their next set is going to be jointly released on Ethereum and Cardano. And the only way to get onto that mint list is by owning one of the OG Cardano NFTs, or earn raffle whitelist places. And the guy who runs that project has a close connection with Doodles, the project, and is offering whitelists to holders of those. So that's an interesting one. And then another really cool one for people to have a look into is called Bitfins. And it's basically an aquarium that you can mint fish that will then live in your aquarium, digital aquarium. But you can also put other NFTs into the aquarium as your different design elements. So, you know, like your fish tanks, sometimes they have the sunken boat, the coral, and stuff like that. So you can put your NFTs into your fish tank. So there's some pretty cool projects doing cross-chain stuff now too. So, you know, hopefully that, you know, because it's just a lot of, in a lot of cases, just a lot of maxiism with people not understanding what either chain is actually doing. Whereas, you know, I think from my perspective, it's not like there has to be one winner and everyone else loses. There's going to be multiple blockchains working. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So kind of a two-parter, Chris. First, this one might be the quickest. Where are you on the initial mint of the golfers? How far are you there? And then secondly, with you being our first builder of a project that we've talked to, you know, Cole and I are collectors. I try to be a flipper of certain projects. That doesn't go very well.
Doesn't go well.
As of right now. But what goes into the start, the middle, and obviously the end is, we don't know when the end is of the project, but what goes into that process?
So in terms of where we're at, like, we have a policy for our NFT golfers that locks in 5 years. So we've got, and I don't know if this is common on Ethereum, but on Cardano, you basically set a date that your policy locks. So no more NFTs can be added to that collection after that date. Now, some projects set very short policy ID locks. We've gone for 5 years because, you know, our project golf is not one that is really mainstream. You know, golf, even though it's experienced massive growth over the last 2 years during COVID and all this other stuff, and a lot more interest now, it's still pretty like niche. So we've got 5 years to mint out our characters, and we have various milestones that we're working towards. So our first key milestone is once we've minted 1500 golfers, that's when we'll start a monthly tournament for holders of the NFTs, and we're about a third of the way there. The timing of our launch was probably not ideal. You know, we launched during the during shitty market, to be honest, but we've just decided we want to build. We've got 5 years. We're not here to put a project out and then rug and walk away. We're really keen to build, so we're about a third of the way towards our first milestone. And then as we mint more and more golfers, we'll start running more and more tournaments, because the treasury will have obviously have built up to a point where we can fund more regular tournaments. We can bring in the, you know, some of the people resources that we need to run some of the other aspects of the project. So we're about a third of the way towards our first milestone. In terms of what goes into the project, like we have been working on this since, you know, probably August of last year. So it's been, and it's been like a full-time job for two of us, basically, where we've been project managing, coordinating people who are different, doing different things. Like, so we've had a website developer, we've had a special developer who's built this tournament scoring system for us, and it's there ready to roll. Like, it's, we're not using the Mint of the Golfers as a Kickstarter program to then go on and build this tournament scoring system. It's there ready to go. We've had three different illustrators working on different aspects of the project. In hindsight, Rusty, one of the things that I probably would have done a little bit differently is I think our project is, there's a lot to unpack and explain to people. I probably would have tried to look at how we might have simplified that initially. But having said that, we, at the time when we were building, we saw a lot of projects who were minting and using the Mint as a Kickstarter to then say, okay, once we've got your money, we're going to then go on and build all this other stuff. And we didn't want to be in that situation. So although the Mint's a bit slower, once we get to that milestone, we will be ready to go. Like, we're not going to be then building something that people will be waiting 6 to 9 months for.
So if I buy one today, it might happen. We've been known to buy NFTs on the pod. If I drink this beer fast enough, it might happen. If I buy one, will it reveal today? Or does it wait till the 1500 hit?
No, you'll get it revealed straight away. So that's the other thing that's a bit different with Cardano and Ethereum, is you send your money, you get your NFT straight back. Whereas with, and sorry, this is from my experience, which might be a little bit old now, but on Ethereum you buy and then there's a time when they all get revealed or a chunk of them get revealed. On Cardano, all 9,444 of our golfers are sitting in the minting system, and once the ADA hits, the system then says randomly pick one and send it straight back. And
how much does it cost? What's the mint price?
Yeah, so it's 75 ADA if you just buy one. And then we have bundles that you can buy. So you can buy a play as a single, a two ball, a foursome, or a social group. So a social group's 12 NFTs, and you're sort of getting one nearly free if you do that. It's quite a big discount on that. And so 75 ADA is probably, I don't know, less than $40, I think. Less than $40. I'm not sure exactly what it's sort of around, but it'll be less than $40.
Yeah, I think Cardano and, I looked at, was under 50 cents
today. Yeah.
It went up a little bit, 4% increase today.
Yeah, which, like a lot of crypto, it's a long way off its high. I think it was like $3 was its high. I just lament those days, just seem such a long time ago now.
Absolutely.
And if you do mint now, there are things that you will benefit from by minting now. You wouldn't have to wait for the tournaments to start to get the benefit of that. So every month we just announced this morning in our Discord that the PGA Tour has their PIP. We had our community Discord awards, but we've rebranded that to be the SIP, the CIP, which in Cardano they also have this CIP, which is like an improvement program. So we've now got our SIP, which is our community. It's basically our community engagement program, and if you are active in our Discord and you're in there just chatting and answering away, you'll earn sort of Discord experience, and the top 10 most active members of the community will go into a duck race at the end of every month, which we sort of try and stream, so you could win a free NFT. We're running regular tipping contests, so we just ran a tipping competition over the FedEx Cup finals. So people picked which golfers they thought would win, and they basically, it was like a not a one and done, but you earned the prize money that the players earned for their finishing position on in the tournament. You were allocated that as like your points, and that then carried through the three tournaments, and the player who had the, or the tipster rather, who had the most points at the end of that 3 weeks, they won an NFT. So we've got quite a few contests going at the moment to win NFTs in our Discord, but we're sort of recognizing holders and giving them a benefit above others. So like anyone could participate in that FedEx Cup Finals tipping competition. You could pick a golfer, but our holders, they got to choose two golfers, and we gave them the highest finishing golfers prize money. So there was a definite benefit to holding. So we'll keep looking at doing those things to give our holders benefits before the tournament system starts, or and that will continue after.
Very cool. Might just have to look into it. Might have to get one today.
Well,
figure out Cardano.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, because we're not on Ethereum, we're on Cardano. We've got to sort of try and also do a little bit of evangelization around Cardano itself and education around Cardano itself, because you know, it is people do tend to sort of roll their eyes a little bit, unfortunately, at Cardano sometimes. But you know, my experience has been mostly good.
Well, you're not mainstream on Cardano at the moment, so everybody's gonna shit on it as much as they can since you're not Ethereum.
Yeah.
A lot of ETH maxis out there for sure.
Which is that's fine. I understand that.
So you said you bought some on ETH, though. What NFTs did you originally buy?
Yes, so
when you got into it?
There's a project that I really loved the concept, and it ended up being it was a complete rug pull, like massive. There was this project, I'm not even going to mention the name of it, but you basically, based around lizards, and you bought these lizards, and that, like, the artwork was pretty cool on them. And then at some point in time, there was going to be this basically a burn where you could send three lizards back in and they would be recast as a dragon. And like, for me, I thought, yeah, that was really the idea then, because that was in, like, that would have been back in like April or May, I think, of last year. So it was just not something I'd seen anyone else do, and I just thought that was a really cool concept of buy these three NFTs. There's a scarcity built into, or a diminishing scarcity built into, that I thought would help. But no, these guys, they just completely disappeared from the Discord. complete train wreck. So, Zedrun, I had a couple of those, sold a couple of those.
That's a project that's kind of been not rugged, but hasn't been going as great as it started out. Is that right?
No, I bought and sold. Like,
oh, you're out.
I'm out. Yeah.
Gotcha.
There's a project on Cardano, which I have. It's also a horse racing project called Equine, and like, they had one of the most successful mints probably in Cardano history. Like, they had a 24-hour open mint window. 250 ADA, and that was at Christmas time, so I think ADA was pretty high back then, and they minted 14,000 horses in one day. And like, that is that's a project well worth looking into on Cardano. It's got a great team, and I think also, you know, horse racing is something that a lot of people have an interest in, so it's likely to draw people in from that perspective to the community as well, not just about, you know, pump my bags, make my NFT worth more, but people like horse racing, so that's another good project.
Yeah, horse racing is huge worldwide. I mean, everybody loves it. So, Chris, you, is this your full time? Is chasing pars right now, or are you still doing in real life stuff as well.
I'm still doing in real life stuff. So I've got a job, digital marketing and customer experience at a social services company. And at the moment, it's I'm doing this sort of still probably a couple of hours most days, just business stuff, organizing for the conference, working with the team on social and what we're posting. So, but there's as I said, the team, it's not just me. There was 8 or 9 of us at one stage. There's probably 4 of us sort of working on it now, doing different parts. And then as we start to build the number of golfers minted, the team will build again as well. Yeah. So
how did y'all come up with the name?
Yeah. So Chasing Pars was, I'm a horrible golfer. When I say I'm a horrible golfer, I'm a 15 handicapper. I get down to, I have the odd, 10 or 11 handicap round, but I've been playing golf for such a long time and I've never gotten much better than that. So it's just like, I'm just chasing pars. And that was my Instagram, Twitter handles for my golf adventures, stuff that I did. I'd go and play golf and I'd post it there because people don't want to see that type of stuff on my normal profile. And then I was like, I don't know, that works for the project as well, so let's roll with that. So yeah, if you go back through the Instagram in particular, there's a date where we just said, okay, this used to be for Chris's golfing stuff, now this is Chasing Pars going forward. So there's a distinct line in the sand.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had heard the Chasing Scratch guys and their podcast.
Let's go. Yes, big listeners. I've just actually started listening to season 5 not long ago, so I was a bit slow on this season, but
that's another good one. I enjoy that one as well.
Yes.
What's your favorite course so far that you've been able to play, either in the States or in Australia?
Well, before you say that, Chris, where are you in Australia? Are you in Brisbane?
Yeah, Brisbane. Okay. Yeah. I think one of my favorite golf trips was with 2 other buddies, and we went to China to play golf, and we played golf at this place called Mission Hills. That just blew my mind. You go there, you check into this hotel that it's a golfing resort. They have 10 championship quality 18-hole golf courses, and these are super high quality golf courses, designed by all types of big names. And we went there and we played, I think we were there for 4 or 5 days, and we played golf every day. And they also have a couple of night courses, so you play golf at night under floodlights. It's really cool, actually. So I think that's one of my favorite trips. And one of my favorite memories is there's this par 3. It's a island green par 3, and you play it from an elevated tee, and one of my mates he could not get it on the green. So he's hit 3 and the caddy's like, okay, come on, let's go, trying to get him to go down the drop zone. And I'll never forget him basically just turning around and just yelling at her, sleeve! Like, give me another sleeve. And then he put another 2 in the water, and then he finally landed 1 on the green. But like, just this caddy, this poor little Chinese caddy, like, let's move, because everyone's backing up behind us. That is just so funny. And the courses are just so good.
10 cup when he's got his hand down.
It's just, here, ball.
Another one.
Well, Jordan Spieth did that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that was an immediate.
So have you played Royal Melbourne?
No, I haven't played Royal Melbourne. Probably in Australia, probably the best golfing I've played is at Bunboogle down in Tasmania.
Yep.
Went down there, man. I went down there we were there basically like the weekend or 2 weekends before Australia locked down with COVID. Like, it was, so what was that? Right at the start of 2020.
March.
We went down
early
there.
March.
Yep. So we were there in February, I remember being down there. And those courses are amazing. So the Lost Dunes and Barnboogle. And then they've just, in the last year, I'm not sure exactly when, but they added another course there, which is a short, like it's a par 3 and a par 4 course. And it's 14 holes, I think, or something like that. But it just looks like a lot of fun. Great for like match play. Yeah. So yeah, like that is amazing. The courses there are phenomenal.
And then here in the States, I mean, I see in your bio that you played in front of Pete Sampras at Bel Air Country Club. What about here in the States? How often do you get over here? And
yeah, like pre-COVID, we would come over probably not quite every year, but definitely every second year at Christmas time. And we would go skiing in Colorado and try and organize, you know, it's a long way to go. So we would normally, and that's our long school holiday period is at the end of the year.
Yep.
So like we could take 6 weeks leave and go go on holidays. So probably, yeah, Bel Air, like from an exclusivity perspective, it was amazing. Like just playing there. But probably my favorite round, which I think it was the first time I'd played with a caddy, was at Spyglass Hill at Pebble Beach. Like, and that was just, I can still like pretty vividly remember the first four holes of that course. Like it starts to get a bit blurred together after that, but the first four holes of that course, I was just amazed. Like,
well, that's what everyone says, is that Spyglass is, if you took Pebble away from, you know, what it was, take the history away, Spyglass might be better.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun. Mm. And with a caddy, too. I'm pretty sure that was the first time I had a caddy, so it's like, this is a good experience. Yeah. What about you guys?
I love a caddy. I hate paying for them, but I love having a caddy. Carry my bag.
I would take
What about you guys?
If I could have a caddy every round, I would. It's just so great. Yeah. Great experience.
Yeah,
Cole plays a lot more golf than I do. I've got four kids now, so golf is kind of...
Yes, congrats on the new mint.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I should have mentioned earlier.
Appreciate it. I'm selling it for less than mint price. No, we play some good golf. I mean, I used to work at Congressional Country Club up in D.C. Rory won in, 2012, whatever it was. I played all over. I mean, being in the golf industry, I had the opportunity to go to a lot of places. Play a lot of golf in Colorado when I go out there, Vegas. Pumpkin Ridge was awesome out in Portland. I mean, Cole and I talk about it a lot. Like, one of the best experiences I've ever had is Chichesi. In Hilton Head area, Canterbury in Cleveland, Ohio, is probably the best golf course I've ever played in my life. To hold a nationwide or a Corn Ferry event, but it was too hard for those guys, so they took it away. But it's not long. I mean, it's only like from the tips, it's like 7,000, it can't hold a PGA Tour event. It doesn't have the range and all that stuff, but like it's a U.S. Open type golf course, just not long enough.
Yeah, mine, I don't know about my favorite. The hardest course I ever played was the Ocean Course down at Kiawa. It was like 40 mile an hour winds off the ocean.
Hard.
It was pretty tough.
Hard.
It was pretty tough that day. That one, I've played a couple of the Pinehurst courses. I didn't play number two, but I played 4, 6, 8. And the Cradle was pretty awesome up there, the par 3 course. I played a couple down here that have been good. Chichesi, like Rusty was saying, and College and River is probably one of my favorites around here as well. Actually, the course I belong to is the Greg Norman, so shout out to the Shark.
He designed some wicked courses, man.
We love the Shark on this pod, Chris.
Yeah.
At least I
Yeah,
do.
I He has a course at Mission Hills in China, and dead set, like, by about the 14th hole of that course, I'm quitting golf, and I was ready to walk off. It was so hard.
Yeah. The club I met here that he did is pretty tough. Pretty tough, but...
Yeah.
Well, Chris, getting back real quick to... I want to get into the real... I think you would be a good person to talk to about the real golf stuff. But I think it would be, you know, we'd be remiss to talk about on Chasing Par as your charity partner that you have on there. I got shit on because I said that no one cares about the 3M Championship and the Rocket Mortgage, but I was told that there's a lot of charities and a lot of volunteers. And so I actually do care about charities before anyone shits on me even more about this. But talk about that initiative, that, you know, philanthropy.
Yeah. So our partner is a charity called 4ASD Kids, and they are a charity that's quite close to a number of our team's hearts. So it's a charity that supports families who have children who have got a diagnosis of autism, and they provide a whole range of different supports, whether it's you know, just emotional support or directions towards programs. They're a project that's done some pretty amazing work, and at one stage two of us were on the board of that charity, so we could see the work that they could do and what it could grow to become. And also on the board is, now I don't know if these guys are if you want to know them, but Joe and Renee Ingalls. So Joe Ingalls is an Australian basketball player who...
Yeah, he plays for the Jazz. Played for the Jazz.
Yeah.
Yep, he just got traded. So
yeah, lefty.
He's left there now. I think he signed with Portland for a while, and then he came home here, and then he signed with someone else. But they're on the board as well. So they're our charity partner, and we're working with them to include in the... artwork, a special golf flag that appears on like 40, I think it is 40 different golfers. And at some stage we'll have some type of a special giveaway to anyone who holds one of those NFTs. But we're also allocating a portion of the profits from the mints to donate to them. So yeah, it's a charity that's really... quite close to our hearts, and thanks for prompting me to mention that, Rusty, because it's an important part of what we're doing this for, and trying to raise awareness.
No, that's awesome. That's good to hear. Is it a Australian based charity, or is it worldwide?
They're Australian based.
Okay.
Yeah. They're based on the Gold Coast, which is sort of an hour or so down the road from me here. But yeah, Australian based.
Gotcha. Cool.
Joe and Renee do some big things in the North American community. I know the NBA are pretty amazing supporters of the players through the different charities that they're involved with. So he also does some great stuff in the States too.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So you want to do a little bit of...
What about real golf stuff?
Yeah, what about real golf? You tell us. I mean, you brought the shark up. Usually it's me bringing Liv up every week.
Oh man!
And you know, we got people DMing us because I bought a Liv hat, telling us that they're unfollowing us. I think it's one of Cole's buddies. I mean, you know, I don't get paid by any of these guys, Chris. So you tell me, like, what's going on?
Oh man! I mean, I was listening to something. I listen to a lot of golf podcasts, and they had Davis Love on it. And
let me guess, when I was listening, no laying up,
maybe it was, I'm not sure. Anyway, when I was listening to him,
I think I saw this,
it really hit home to me that the perspective of Americans on Liv is very different from our perspective outside of the States. Now, you know, I've been to America a lot of times. I love coming there. So this is not America. This is not Yank bashing at all, but it's very... the tour is very concentric, is very centered on the US, and I can understand that they want to protect their product. But like, if you from an Australian's perspective, our players have got probably more of a connection to the European tour than they would to the American tour, or even the Japan tour or some of the Asian tours. That's where so many Australian golfers go and play and earn their keep. Right. So for us, like, I can completely understand the concerns and the around the funding of Live Tour. Like, that's hard to reconcile for me, like, I as well.
Sure.
But you know, there's so many products around the world that come from nations that don't have great human relations rights. So I still struggle with that. Like, some days I'm like, nah, this is not good. Other days I'm like, oh, come on. It's like, I buy stuff from China all the time, and like, they don't have good human rights either. So I'm on sort of team disruption at the moment, and I am excited for the opportunity for just better golfing all around the world. Like, they've promised a live event in Australia in April, and there's an Australian team already. Like, right. So I think you'll see people. And have you guys watched the Netflix, the Formula One documentary, that show Drive?
Yes. And they're doing a golf one now.
Oh man, how good is that going to be? That's going to have so much drama.
So much drama.
So much drama. But I watched that, and now while I'm looking at Liv and I'm looking at what they've done with Formula One, like, that team concept, that could actually grow to be something that people really get behind.
I agree. I mean, Cole, up until this weekend, had not watched a Liv event.
Never.
So this is a good opportunity to ask Cole what, you know, his thoughts. How did you feel about it? Did you feel cringeworthy?
I mean, it was good to watch. I got with the shotgun start I said it before. Go. I hate
it's fucking terrible.
I hate the shotgun start. I can't tell who's on what hole.
I love the shotgun start. Me. Well, I love the finish.
yeah, the finish. I couldn't tell where anybody was.
It's hard to keep track of.
Very hard to keep track, and I don't like the 54 holes either.
Why? Who cares?
I don't know. I just think that, golf 72, you play 72, you cut it after
36.
It
wasn't always 72, it's like it's always been. That's the thing. It's like, things evolve. Things change.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing for me, like
the shotgun's got to go. The shotgun's
got to go. You got to play the course how it's designed, and it should start on hole one.
I agree.
If you're playing at a high-level tournament. Shotgun start on the weekend with the buddies is fine, but not at a high level.
I don't even like a shotgun start on a Saturday. Like, here in South Carolina, a lot of clubs will do, in the summertime, they'll do split tee starts, shotgun or whatever they'll do, you know, just to get everybody in before the heat. And just, fuck, like, I just want to start on 1 or 10. That's all I want to start on.
Yeah.
And I don't even like starting on 10. Just give me number 1.
Yeah.
That was my biggest thing, and I think they got to get a TV deal. Like, I tried to watch it at the beach when I was there last week on vacation, and they didn't have a smart TV, so I couldn't get the YouTube to work, and it's too hard for an average person to try to figure out. I think once they do that, we'll have some more followers.
You know, I think I was thinking about that this weekend, and I was watching the college football game, which, Chris, I know you don't give a shit about college football, probably.
No, I do, actually. I like college football.
Do you? Okay, cool. Cool.
Who's your team?
No, I don't have to have a team. I can just tune into any game and just, like, jump in. Like, that's the benefit of not having gone to a college in the States. Yeah.
But I was watching on Fox Sports on Friday night, I believe. And the first time I ever saw on the ticker on the bottom going through all the scores of everything, they had the Live scores. And then, was it Sunday? When did the Live event end? Sunday? So Sunday. Monday, I was watching ESPN, and they showed highlights of the Live event. So, I mean, it's starting to kind of work its way out. Yeah. I mean,
And in Australia, I think I don't remember seeing so much media coverage of golf in Australia for a long time. Like, Cam Smith's going great, but it's also Greg Norman and the Australian connection that's getting a lot of media attention here.
Is there any animosity towards Greg in Australia, or is he can do no wrong?
I see some interesting comments from players who played with him and knew him, but for people like me who grew up watching him, like, he is his hero. He's like, he's who we grew up watching. I wanted to be the Shark, other than, you know, what happened at Augusta, but, you know,
right.
poor bloke, but yeah, he is a hero.
Yeah. Kind of figured that. I think you're right. You hit on it when you said that in the States, they're more worried about everything, you know, keeping everybody homegrown or, you know, whatever it is, monopolizing the golf world. You know, for me, and I've said it a couple of times on the pod, like, I don't give a shit. I just want to see more golf and more good golf.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, you know, in my golfing life, I would wake up in the morning and get ready for school or get ready to go to work, and I'd be watching the DP World Tour. I'll watch Korn Ferry to go to bed at night on Thursday night or Friday night, whatever it is. And now you get the opportunity to watch 48 of the best players. Well, let's say 30 of the best players in the world play, and they're playing at great golf courses.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the other thing. Like, you know, PGA Tour, you're going to catch those Rocket Mortgages where you don't know anybody on the leaderboard, where at least live, you're watching competitive elite players every time, which you're not going to see that on the PGA Tour currently.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it feels like eventually there's just going to have to be some type of agreement that there's, you know, Euro Tour, a PGA Tour, there's a global tour or whatever they end up calling that, and, you know, Asian Tour sort of in the mix. You know, I think I'm like you, Rusty. I just want to watch more good golf. Like,
that's right.
Just give me more good golf.
And I actually am interested to see with this international series with the Asian Tour, how that can grow. Because I know Andy Ogletree, who won the USAM, he was on Alan Shipnuck's pod last week, and they were talking about he played in the first live event, and now he's playing on the Asian, the international series or whatever it's called. I'm excited to see how that grows, and, you know, I don't know. I'm an optimist.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm an eternal optimist. So I think whatever looks like is bad for the game right now, at the end of the day, is going to be better for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Pat Reed fan, but he was playing in an event in
Singapore.
Is it Singapore or like a couple of weeks ago? And I watched that. I wouldn't have watched that otherwise.
Right.
It's not a good time of day for me. It's like middle of, you know, primetime TV at night. Great.
Yeah, for us it's complete opposite.
Yeah.
Do you think those guys are going to get to play at Augusta?
Yes. I do.
I mean, I hope so.
I mean, I think the guys that have
the guys that have won
Augusta or have won a major that are still exempt, yes. I think they're going to try to do the things, but there's not going to be many guys, I don't think, that are going to stay inside the top, 50 for Augusta?
That's right.
By that time, that are going to, like, Taylor Gooch might be your best example. Pretty good chance, unless he, like, wins this week at Wentworth and gets all those world ranking points. Like, I don't know if he'll be in the top 50 by the time Augusta comes around for him to even get the opportunity to play.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, that's the thing, is the world ranking, at least, you know, to these guys. So, you know, I just hope it works out. But,
well, it's going to be interesting. Like, our big tournaments are in summer. So, like the Australian PGA Championship, that's played here in my hometown in at the end of November.
Yep.
The Australian Opens in Sydney, you know, a couple of weeks later, and the Masters is, I don't know when we have our Masters now, I'm trying to remember. Anyway, they're all, I'm getting emails from those tournaments now saying, Cam Smith signed, Mark Leishman signed, you know, all these guys are coming back, they're playing those tournaments. Presume they're going to earn world ranking points in those events.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger used to play.
You know, that type
Wood.
Of thing
Tiger
might actually be good for us.
The Australian Masters, right?
Yeah, yeah, he won that. I was just looking at that for something else. He won it in 2009.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, right before the scandal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Before the downfall.
Oof, dear. That's, like, we haven't had big tour players coming down here.
Nope.
They co-sanctioned with Europe a couple of years ago some of our events, so we saw a few European players coming down for the points. And but, you know, maybe, like, that's another thing. I hadn't thought about that. Like, maybe that is going to be something good for Australian golf if these LIV players can't earn world rankings points elsewhere, but the Australian tour, they come down here and earn points here, then maybe that's good for us fans who get to go along and watch them.
Yeah, and didn't Abe Anser win an Australian event? He won the won one the Open, the Masters, or
one of the ones in Melbourne, I think.
Yeah, he won one a couple of years ago. But, so, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, and I know you guys have probably got to go, but I was looking at the international, the President's Cup team.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, President's Cup is just going to be just a whitewash. I wonder if we'll win any games. Like,
slaughter.
It's going to be thrashing.
Feel bad for Adam Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I thought he was actually one of those guys that was going to go to LIV.
Me too, for sure.
But apparently he was one of the guys trying to talk Cam not to go.
He deserves it with that putter. It's awful. The spaceship thing he's got. Yeah. He's got to do something
that
else.
That and Matt Wolf.
I can't watch that. I can't watch that thing. It's terrible.
Well, yeah, Chris, I think this is a good ending spot. We got our live in, and people can shit on us about that. So
that's right.
Let everybody know, Chris, where they can find you on socials and everything else.
Thanks, Cole. The best place is to find us on Twitter at Chasing Pars, and from there's a link tree to go and find us everywhere else. Come and join the Discord and hang out and chat golf and NFTs. We're really looking for more people to chat to about golf in there, so I'd love to see some of your listeners in there too.
Yeah, I plan to. I'm gonna figure out this Cardano thing, and maybe we can do some sort of Instagram video on how to mint it, you know, from us.
Yeah.
And we'll get one for the pod, and we'll join the community for sure. I don't do Discord very much, Chris. You might have heard on some of the other pods.
It's tough.
I got burned a few times.
Rusty's a link clicker.
Yeah, I'm a link.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I've learned the hard way a couple times, so I'm gonna let Cole take over the Discord because he's got a little bit more restraint than I do.
Yeah, well,
I'll hop in there and we'll get us some Chasing Pars NFTs for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great. And yeah, if there's an opportunity to just come on the pod in the future and chat golf and NFTs again, let me know. I'd love to.
Yeah, Chris, you let us know.
Yeah,
we're always open.
Yeah.
Let's circle back once y'all.
Let's get to the.
Maybe you hit your next milestone. We can circle back.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds good. All right.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys.
Everybody, y'all can. Thanks for coming on, Chris. Y'all can follow us at Web3Putts, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere you get your podcasts. Check us out as well. Subscribe. This is a 5-star pod here tonight, so give us a good rating.
We only got 5-star.
Thanks again, Chris.
So far,
and
that's it.
We do. We do all 5.
Except for the DMs. The
Thanks
DMs
again, Chris. Right. We'll hopefully see you soon.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.